Blog Talk Radio.
And on this line, we recognize it as God. We recognize our divine sources, the good. We recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not, let me say it again, not one spot that our divine source is not. Wherever we are, God is. Wherever we are, God is. So as we begin to tune in to that transforming presence, the power of the beloved I Am God, recognizing the transforming power of the oneness. Take in a deep breath. Become still and know that I am God. You see, there's power in centering our mind. There's strength in centering our mind. So I want you to center your mind. Focus your energy on the breath and become present with the breath. And as you breathe in all of God's love. As we become still and know that I am God. Let's breathe, family. Breathe in through your nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. Remember to breathe into the heart and release through the mouth. Let's focus in on our breath and tune in to our heart and breathe. Let's breathe as we become still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Breathe in again, family. Breathe. And release. Become still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Divine Mother, Father, God. Precious and Holy Spirit. Beloved, I am God. Beloved, I am presence. Oh, Christ consciousness. I call forth the Christ consciousness, the ascended masters, the angels, our archangels, our spiritual committee, as I come before our transcending power. And all the beloved I am presence, I ask that every word come, Holy Spirit. And every meditation of my heart.
All callers are muted.
Be so acceptable in thy sight. I come empty, Holy Spirit, asking you to fill my presence with your presence, God. Asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and possess my thoughts, possess my heart, take over my emotional body, that every word I will speak will be made manifest of your glory. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to somebody's mind today, God. Speak to somebody's heart. as we show up as individualized expressions of you, Holy Spirit. We come thanking you today. Thanking you for this opportunity to be so anointed by you, Holy Spirit, that you will take over this call today, Holy Spirit. That you will speak to the minds and the hearts of your people today, God. That you will download into the love journey the words and the gift and the message that you want your people to know today, God. Your message of love. Mother, Father, God. Divine Creator, Great Spirit, I come right here in this right now moment, calling forth the greater version of ourselves today, thanking you for this opportunity and this collective energy to say good morning, Holy Spirit, to say good morning to all the gods and goddesses, thanking you for the energetic expressions as we show up as you on the planet, operating in our dominion, our authority, and our mastery. I give thanks, Holy Spirit, for all that is. I give thanks, Holy Spirit, for each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. I give thanks for those who will come and listen to the replay line. I even give thanks for those who had a mind to come and didn't make it, God. I give thanks for those that will come in the future. I give thanks for the expansion. I give thanks for growth. I give thanks for the ascending mastery ship that we are obtaining each and every day, God. I'm giving thanks, Holy Spirit, because I have a mind of a gratitude right now, God. Oh, I have an attitude of gratitude, and I'm giving thanks, God. I'm giving thanks because you are all there is. We are all there is. And I thank you for the opportunity to express you more and more every day. I give thanks for this line, God. I give thanks for manifestation. I give thanks that somebody is being blessed as we speak right now, God. I give thanks that you opened up your doors, your gates, your heaven, and your windows, and you poured out blessings upon us. It's not even room enough for us to receive it. I thank you that we're so anointed today, God. Even the blessed call us blessed, Holy Spirit. I give thanks for the anointing of Solomon upon our life, God. I give thanks for wealth and wisdom. I give thanks for grace and mercy that will follow us all the days of our life. I give thanks that your blessings are chasing us and overtaking us, God. I give thanks for your profuse winds of abundance, God. Because as we feel the abundance of rain raining down upon us, I give thanks, God. And I'm asking you to rain upon us today, God. Oh, open up them doors, God. Bring your supernatural explosive blessings upon this line in this right now moment, God. I'm asking you to raise the frequency level of this line on this day, God. I'm calling forth a blessing, Holy Spirit. I'm calling it forth in the mighty name of your Christ consciousness. I'm calling it forth. I'm speaking it into existence in this right now. Oh, God, somebody came with a mind of gratitude today, God. Somebody came to say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody came because they were so grateful this morning that you woke them up this morning, God. Somebody came because they were so grateful, God, that you blessed them with a new physical manifestation. Oh, somebody said thank you this morning, God, and came to the line. They wanted to bless us with the idea that they were grateful this morning, God. I give thanks, Holy Spirit. I give thanks because I am just one grateful somebody. Thank you, God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, God. And good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to Mother Earth, Father Sky, Mother Nature. Ooh, good morning, good morning to the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the sun, the moon, the stars. Good morning to the land and the soil. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning. I want to say good morning to all the earth, the wind, the fire. I want to say good morning to the ether. Good morning to the water. Good morning to our spiritual community. As we say good morning to our angelic family, good morning to our most beneficent angelic family. Good morning, angels. As we invite and invoke the presence of the angels, good morning, angels. Good morning, as we invite you into this call. Good morning, archangels, as we invoke our archangels, Samuel, Michael, Gabriel, Sandifer, Jophiel, and all Uriel and Ariel, and all the beautiful archangels. Come, archangels. And as we invite the presence of our amazing, powerful presence of the ascended masters, as we call forth the higher presence of the ascended masters into this call, we invoke them and we say, good morning, ascended masters, as we offer our gratitude to the ascended masters, the Elohim, the Elohas. Good morning, as we invite and invoke presence into this call. Every day we invite your presence. Good morning, ascended masters. Good morning, Elohim and Elohas. Good morning, good morning. And good morning to our master guides and our spirit guides, as we invite them as well into this call. And like we do each and every day, we stop to pay homage to our ancestors. As we recognize that our ancestors left this planet, but we still know that their spirit lives on, and we pay homage to those who left a legacy as we stand on their shoulders this morning, as we honor our ancestors and invite and invoke their presence into this call. I give love to my mother who left the planet on Thursday 2 years ago. I give you love, Miss Anastasia McAdoo. Thank you for being the vehicle that brought me to this planet. Thank you, Mom. Good morning, Mom. Good morning, Mother Colette. Good morning to our known and unknown ancestors. Good morning to all those who walked this planet before us. Good morning, good morning, and good morning to my brothers and my sisters. Good morning to my kings and queens, my gods and goddesses. Love to the gods and goddesses this morning. Love to the gods and goddesses. Wow. You know, life just moves so fast. Can't even believe it. You know, it's been 2 years my mom has gone in this Thursday, February 25th. Wow. It's amazing. I see Mr. James Gilmore is on. Let me let him in. Good morning, Mr. James Gilmore.
Good morning, love goddess.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm absolutely fabulous. I was planning on sleeping in this morning. We don't have another guest appearance on the Love Journey till tomorrow. And I said, well, if Spirit wants me on the show this morning, they'll wake me up. And I got woke up at 3:48, so I guess Spirit wants me on the call.
Good morning, good morning. So what's our plans? What's the plan? What's the, you're the man with the plan.
Well, it's like we, in keeping with the you know, the mystery school on the Love Journey this month, and I'm sensing that you know, we'll just continue that aspect of the Love Journey whenever I bring a guest on. It's the mystery school, Love Journey mystery school, bringing it on. But you in conversations with you with the work we've been doing this past month. Past 2 months, a lot of things have come up repeatedly in your conversations that's on your heart. And one of the things you mentioned to me recently was this matter of several things. One is about mastery. One is about, you know, divine love and what love is. And then you're writing a paper for your thesis, and that's been evolving. You're preparing for an angel class that you're going to be teaching. So I kind of like that quote you give from Harg Eckert. Give me that quote again.
I don't know the quote from Eckert.
Yeah, about how you do something, something.
Oh, T. Harg Eckert. I thought you were talking about Eckert, totally. How you do anything is how you do everything.
How you do anything is how you do everything.
Yes.
Yeah, so all those things are going on in your life, and I'm sure that principle's there. How you do anything is how you do everything. So I would like for us to talk about mastery. And talking about mastery, you know, from what you was telling me yesterday, sort of let all those different things that's going on kind of like show a different window or filter through which you're viewing master, including if we can get it in your vision for the love journey. I don't know how often you've shared that on the call with the family, the vision for the love journey. Maybe do a little bit more sensitive plug about your angel class and why you're motivated to teach that, your paper that you're doing, you know how all that fits into this whole theme of mastery. So let's get started. So what's your view of spiritual mastery, and what is your beliefs about why so many of us are blocked in actually manifesting profound levels of mastery in our spiritual lives? And I'm sure if it's not there in our spiritual life, it's probably not there in other areas of our life as well. So take it away, I love God.
I'm sorry, I need to get the question.
Okay, so the question is, we want to talk about mastery because you mentioned that to me very passionately the last couple of days. Mastery, spiritual mastery, ascended master mastery. You know, so what is mastery to you, and what do you think is going on that so few light workers are manifesting a level of mastery that you revealed to me the other day?
So what I was talking about is spiritual identity.
More okay.
When Jesus said in the Bible about us being able to do all the things he did and more, I was talking about so many people do not see Jesus as someone who worked at mastery. Because the way the Bible gives us Jesus, you know, when we think about Jesus, we only see the day Jesus was born, pretty much, and then we get when Jesus pretty much created his first miracle, but we don't see the work. We kind of dehumanize Jesus. We don't think. You know, I was just reading something that my daughter sent me this morning about 5 o'clock. I was reading it. It was about relationships, and it was about forgiveness. And they said Jesus talked about forgiveness 77 times 7, but he wasn't married, so he don't know what it takes to forgive your marriage. And I said to myself, it's interesting how they didn't even give Jesus the true picture of him being with Mary Magdalene. Because when you read and do more studying, you really learn that Mary Magdalene was his wife. I know that might be something like, Janine is blaspheming on his phone. I know people are tripping, but really, you know, we don't get to see the human side of Jesus, so we don't think that we can accomplish those things that Jesus accomplished. We don't think we can turn water into wine. We don't think that we can master the idea of ascending and all the things, and we use Jesus because Jesus was not the only person who ascended, but we use Jesus because he's the most common one that people know about.
So you're saying we humanize Jesus or we do humanize Jesus? Which one is the problem, or which one is the creates the mischief with
we
this?
We do humanize him. We do not give him human qualities.
Okay. We
give God human qualities before we give Jesus. We say God is a jealous God, which is a human quality, but then we take away any human quality from Jesus. I've never heard one person give me a human, talk about Jesus and talk about anything that Jesus did that was human in terms of having a human process on earth.
Okay. And so the impact of that, well, actually you mentioned two things which may be two sides of the same coin. You just mentioned that we don't humanize Jesus, and then we do dehumanize God by giving God human qualities. So maybe those two things are two sides of the coin of the same problem or challenge.
So explain to me what you mean by that when you say that.
What I mean is, so on one level, we're not giving Jesus, you said we mean people in general, and it seemed like you're especially referring to the Western Christian society. We don't give Jesus human qualities.
Right.
You mentioned about him being married and his relationship with Mary Magdalene and how she fit in his life and ministry. And then on the other hand, with God, people seem to, in the Western Christian society again, we seem to accept, especially from an Old Testament point of view, God is a jealous God.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is that we will accept having a human characteristics on God, but we don't even accept the fact that Jesus came in a human body, came to earth, experienced some really challenging things to master the level of ascending that he had to master in order to be called the Christ consciousness.
Yeah, so I agree with you 1,000,000%, and I was just adding that the same thing we're doing with Jesus, we're doing the opposite with God, and perhaps both of those things is creating a situation where we can't attain, you know, large numbers of us can't attain the mastery that you're speaking about.
Right, because we don't recognize our own spiritual identity. So think about it.
John
14:12, it says, I say unto you, right? It says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do these things and do them greater, something of that magnitude. My works are the things I do. And he talks about how we can do those same things in that chapter. So what I'm saying to you is that how is it, if you don't get, see, it's easier for me to see somebody that had experienced things, went through some things, and then achieved that level. It's easier for me to understand that, yeah, well, if they did it, I did it. But if you believe that I had a virgin birth and you think there's some special qualities about me, you do not think that I can achieve, you won't think that you can achieve those same qualities and more if you think there's something special about you that I don't have.
Yeah, very profound point. Very profound point. Plus, I just got to send another revelation here, is that millions, probably during the course of a year, there's billions of people on the planet, and you know, because they've got these long seasons with basketball and football, and baseball has long season, and there's soccer, and there's hockey. So people are going by the billions if you look at the total attendance. And they're vicariously experiencing something through the teams that they root for playing these sport games. And I just got the thought, what do we do similar to that where we're vicariously relating to this spiritual identity with God and Jesus? You know, I mean, when I say, we're talking about the ideal of what Jesus represents, and the ideal of what God represents, not the misapplication. Where do we gather, whether we have this motivation to, or what are we doing where we vicariously, you know, absorb God's true identity and Jesus' true identity? I just, that just came to me in terms of what we're talking about, Janine.
What you're saying is, how do we experience the true identity of ourselves? How do we get to master our ascended self? That's what you're asking me?
No, I wasn't asking that. I was making a statement.
Oh, okay.
So you hear me clearly or what? So if you're not, I need to make an adjustment.
No, I'm not. I hear you clearly. I'm not really good.
Okay, I got you. So you mentioned this thing about a spiritual identity, which I believe is the key to what you said originally when Jesus said, the works I do, you'll do these works and greater works. So he made that statement, that promise, and then masses of people after that did not humanize Jesus, which meant that they're now seeing Jesus as this being with all these different things, from the virgin birth to he was, you know, never married. So there's a disconnect with us really identifying with Jesus so we can identify with being and doing and accomplish what he said was possible for us.
Exactly.
Speak to the mountain and the mountain will move, and forgive your brother 70 times 70, and all these things he said, obviously in order to access those things, a certain consciousness is necessary.
Exactly.
And that consciousness is disconnected from with the way we view Jesus and God.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's, I get what you're saying, yeah. And I was just curious when I just threw in there that billions of people around the planet go to sports events and they vicariously experience something through their team and through their favorite players, and it's very passionate, you know. People even get injured and killed at these sports events. And I don't see the same vicarious identification with God and Jesus. You follow that point?
Okay, I'm following you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just threw it in there. So we'll keep going. So this whole thing of spiritual mastery and spiritual identity, what more do you have to share with us about that?
Well, I just think that, you know, as we move, it's important. So I'll give you an example of what I mean. One of the most brilliant minds in this, in my opinion, that, and not that he was the only brilliant mind, but one of the most brilliant minds in the, that walked this planet, that came to the planet, to me, is Albert Einstein. I'm a big Albert Einstein fan. And not that there were not other people that were just as brilliant or even more brilliant, but I love Albert Einstein because, you know, we recognize Albert Einstein as a scientist, and we don't see science as God, and God as science. We don't see the interplay between those two, which is so profound. You know, I sit in my biology class, and I'll be like, wow, look at God. The things that I learn and see how just nature do what it do without any process in human understanding at all. And I remember in his book, Albert Einstein was really seeking to see the face of God. And he was seeking to see it adamantly. He told God, I want to see what you look like, God. I want to know you. I want you to reveal yourself, you know. And God said, okay. One day God opened up the universe and allowed Albert Einstein to see God. And what Albert Einstein saw was himself. And it really blew Albert Einstein away. Because really, then he really understood what God was on earth. We are God on earth. We are goddesses on earth. We are the individualized expression of God. Yes, we say it sometimes. Some people do, some people don't. What does that really mean, though? That means that I have all the power of the universe inside of me. I am made up of everything that the universe is made up of. So if I learn how to harness my energy, and this is what Albert Einstein said, that I have the power to bring what is invisible into the visible world by harnessing energy and matter, because you cannot destroy or create matter. Only thing that can happen to matter is transform it. So when you learn how to be the true alchemist that you were sent to the earth to become and be, then you can recognize that you can heal the sick. You can change water into wine. You can take fool's gold and make it into real gold because you've been given that authority. But because of our human experiences and our programming and our belief systems, we have not identified that spiritual identity to the fact that we can do those things. We don't see it. Now, every little thing sometimes happens in the universe, and then something happens in the universe, and we're like, wow, we did that. Did you see I accomplished that? We really surprised. A miracle. We were able to help manifest a miracle. And we're really surprised at the fact that we was able to do that. So
surprised ourselves, huh?
Yeah, we surprised ourselves. But if you read through the enigma of the Bible with spiritual discernment, the Bible even tells us that. And what happens is how you get to that level of mastery is our biggest debate, love.
Before you bring up the how we get to it, I want to kind of like see if we need to set the stage a little bit more. You mentioned about the beliefs and programmings that we as humans in general receive. Just say a little bit more about that before we go on. You know, how the belief and programming fit into this disconnect with our accessing and living and being our true spiritual identity, and us living something less than what we are capable of living, or what the divine writings tell us. You know, you quoted some of them already. So how does the belief systems and the programming play into that?
Well, when we are born, our parents' fears keep us from for being into that space of our true nature and true self. Our parents' fears. Our parents place fears upon our life. Our educational system places fears upon our lives by telling us what we can and cannot do, by limiting our thought processes, you know, our government, our environment, even our religion. You know, I grew up in a sanctified church, and I remember when they wouldn't even let a woman on a pulpit. A woman could not be in the pulpit. A woman could not be a preacher. You know? And just by, you know, a lot of the things that people tell us that we can and cannot do. That's how we get caught up in the whole idea of our belief systems, the things that has happened. And the most biggest, the biggest place that we get our fears and belief systems and our limiting thoughts and not to place blame, but is in our homes, in our households. And they do it because they think they're caring for us. They want to, you know, because of their own processes, you know, you think about, you hear parents. So I was talking to my girlfriend the other day, and she, her daughter is just turning 15, and she wanted her daughter to talk to no boys, and she did it. And she was just so adamant and so passionate. And I'm saying, but you placing, because she got pregnant when she was 16. So her fear is that she don't want her daughter to do the same thing. I said, but you're operating out of fear and not love. We make, and then we teach our children, our girls especially, to be afraid of being in a relationship. So they go into these ideas of being afraid in a relationship, and then relationships can never work because the ideas and the limiting beliefs they have, and so they attract what they believe, and vice versa.
So what limiting belief in the area of spiritual mastery, what limiting beliefs do we have that we're attracting the results of that, if you can pinpoint one or two?
Well, on, you know, everybody, pretty much all of us had limiting beliefs. So I can only speak for my own household. So I use my example. When I grew up in my own household, I used money for one. I remember going to, since you mentioned T. Hart, it's a Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe. Millionaire Mind, that's our Friday event. I went to a Millionaire Mind. I went to a Millionaire Mind intensive workshop with T. Harv Eker. And one of the things that came out of my limiting belief was it wasn't enough. So we had to go through our relationship to money and what was our household, what was my household belief system? What was the reoccurring theme in our household? I heard things, money don't grow on trees. What? You know, you got to work hard for money and all the limiting thoughts. So I give you an example. So by the time I'm grown, it was never enough. I don't care if I made $100,000. I don't care if I made $50,000. At the end of the pay period, I had circulated all my money out of my bank account. And one day I had to ask myself, what is really going on here? Then when I got laid off from work, I get on this love journey every morning. Our affirmation at that time is, God is the source of my unlimited supply. Everything and everybody prospers me now. Oh, we were saying it. We had a beat. We had a song. We were saying it with all kind of passion. And baby, let me just tell you, when I got laid from work, I used to make $180,000 a year at this particular job. So when I got laid off from work, I was like, well, I got a $600 Mercedes car note. I got this bill. I got kids in college. And I got a daughter in school that costs $35,000 a year for her to go to this school. But let me just tell you, I didn't know how I was going to do it. I laid in a bed and I said, and God said to me, I thought you said I was your source and your supply. You are. Well, then why are you in that bed? If you believe that I'm your source and I'm your supply, why are you in the bed? Because you're not making $180,000 no more. Wow. Okay, I had to get up. Then one day I wasn't making zero. I was making zero. I mean, I went from $2,000-something, you know, with my unemployment to $0 coming in. And my husband worked on contracts, so some months he don't make absolutely nothing. Some months I didn't know how we was going to do whatever we was going to do, but God worked it out. God showed me. And let me tell you what God showed me. I had a belief system in hard work. I had to hard work in order to bring in money. But what God showed me in these 5 years, that if I do the work on myself, Matthew 6:31, tomorrow I'll take care of self, and today I take care of you. And it just goes through. If you really, really manifest and spiritually discern the words in that Bible, it really tells you how God will really take care of you. He said, I'll take care of the lilies of the field. I take care of the birds, and they'll never have to worry how they're going to eat. What you think I'm going to do for you? I only have one requirement, and that is you seek God. So I sat in the middle of my bed, James, and I said, now, God, I've been seeking you for a long time. I've been paying my tithes.
Okay.
I've been paying my tithes. I've been doing everything you asked me to do, because that's when I had a limited view of who God was and what you're supposed to do, because that's what I learned at church. You pay your tithes, you do this, you're going to get it. But God said, well, who is God? Now, this was in my meditation. I said, well, who is God? Where is God? Where is God? God is everywhere, God. Well, where is God in you? And who is God to you? I was like, wow. So if I seek myself, because I am God, with a clear understanding, knowing that I am God, God is. Now that I know it, once I seek myself and started working on me, I didn't even have to think, ask, or imagine where my money was coming from. Money just come. I'm so blessed. And I was like, wow, if I knew this long time ago. But I had to change my consciousness, because the word tells us, I will give you a house you didn't build. I'll give you a land you didn't toil. What is it saying? Because we think we have to work and create this and then get a house. God said, I'll give you a house you didn't build. He said, I'll give you a land you didn't toil. Well, how you get that, God? Because that's what kept coming up in my mind. That scripture kept, so I kept studying and meditating. So I said, how did you get to that, God? How did you get to the level of mastery that I don't even have to work, that you'll give me a home? Well, I don't even have to work in a car show. Well, I don't even have to work and you'll give me land that I didn't toil. And then he took me to my gifts. He said, use your gifts. Mm-hmm. And when you use your gifts will make room for you. He said, use your gifts and your talents, because I put you here for a purpose. See, purpose gave life to you. You didn't give life to purpose. He said, oh. So you saying if I operate in my gifts and my purpose, then everything will be magnetized with me. Then he took me to love. What? How do you live in love? If you're doing what you love, you're doing what you live with your gifts and your purpose, because your gifts and the purpose are who you are. You came with that. I was like, wow. And so as I began to operate in my gifts, operate in and stand in my authority of understanding what my talents were, people start calling me saying, can you come do this and we'll pay you X amount of dollars? Can you, matter of fact, because you did this for us, guess what? You blessed us so much. And let me just give you this story. This lady called me one day and said, you know, Oprah, this lady gave you a good message on Facebook when Oprah was leaving Channel 7. And she said on there, now that Oprah's gone, we still got Janine, though. Janine, we still got her. And I was like, wow, what a great message to somebody to think of you in Oprah status. Because, you know, Oprah is an amazing being in the planet. You know, anybody who can change the world and stop the Wall Street and do all, and when she say, she like E.F. Hutton, you know, that's a powerful being in the planet. I thought that was awesome. So I called the girl and I said, I heard, I didn't go on Facebook, but I said, I did hear that you said this, this, and that. And she called me. She said, girl, I've been meaning to call you. Stop by here. When I stopped by there now, James, I didn't know she was going to give me anything. She gave me an envelope. And in the envelope was a letter of how I had been a blessing to her. And in the envelope was a check for $2,500.
Wow. Beautiful.
So I'm telling you, and that's how things started. When I started manifesting and living in the gifts and talents that God, see, you make one step, you don't never necessarily see the second step, but as soon as you make the step, God will make the rest. All you got to do is do the first. And then once you start getting up steps of ascending, then you realize that the more intimately you become and the more you seek yourself and the more you tune into you and hone you, the more you become God, Goddess on the planet. Because the whole idea is for us to return to love, return to being God on the planet, being Goddess on the planet. That's the whole idea. I love this book that you introduced me to, Christ Returns. I'm actually listening to it again, Christ Letters. And the first thing he tells us, Jesus is channeled. You know, this book is about Jesus being channeled. And Jesus is saying that, you know, we got it all confused that we're not made in the image and likeness of God. He said, we are the image and likeness of God. He said, we're not here to please God. This is what Jesus said. We are here to express being God on the planet. We are here to express our God, God itself. We are here to operate in a higher energetic expression of who we are. But as long as we hold the limiting beliefs, we will never achieve that higher consciousness of who we truly came to the earth to be.
Good. That's good.
So,
so before we, because, you know, you've been in the zone, so give us about 5 minutes of how the love fits in, and then perhaps we can open up the lines for questions and comments at that point.
Oh, well, you know, love is the only thing on the planet. Love is the be-all, see-all. It's all that's on the planet. But see, the love has been given a wrong definition again, because we consider love and we think of love as the things that has happened in our life. We think of how our parents loved us and gave us conditional love. We think about how we have fell in what we call on earth, fell in love, you know, that phrase, oh, I'm in love. And then when we get hurt, we think love hurt, because we've been given love a bad definition. But see, true unconditional love is not really a feeling. It's an energy. It's a vibration. And when we get to feel little excerpts of those things, when we feel certain things for people, something happens in our body and our molecules start to move and the cells start to move, we get to get to a very small glimpse of what love is when we get to feel that. And then when we get hurt, we close that up because we think that love hurts. So when we operate in a true vibration of love, we get to feel the fullness of that whole experience from the head to the toe, all around our whole body. But what happens is we have to learn how to move from this, that conditional idea of what we have been given love as, and learn to understand the fullness of the love vibration. See, we give love this foo-foo idea. But love is the most powerful, transforming, energizing, harmonizing, the best thunderstorm is kind of thing, not in a chaos, but in a powerful energy of that ever hit the planet. So when you think of God, God is love. God is synonymous with love. And so when you get to pour love on yourself every day, when you actually get to honor you and bless you, you get to open up each one. I say, like, okay, so imagine having 12 switches in your body, and love opens up the first switch. And then it takes maybe 2 years to open up the next switch. And as you take love and keep opening up these switches, then you get to one day open up to the fullness of God. Because let me give you an example. So the more I began to love me, the more I began to spend time with me, the more that I began to pour love on me and honor me, the more I became one with God. Now, even though I am one with God, and even though consciously I understood that I didn't experience God the way I experienced God till I learned to be in my heart. See, I was always analytical about God. I am one with God. All is well in divine order. And I said those things, but did I really experience and understand them? Absolutely not. And so when I hear people say, all is well, divine is order, I am one with God, and then I see them operating anything other than that, I know that they really still being analytical about those things and not being in their heart yet. And it's okay.
The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. You left that one out.
Pardon me?
The statement, the kingdom of God is within you. You left that statement out. That's a popular one.
Oh, yes. Kingdom of God is in you, yeah. And I hear people say it, but I don't hear people experience it. I don't hear people be the God. You know, when we understand that everything is truly, truly, truly in divine order, if you 10 months behind on your rent, you have no worries because you know the divine process is working itself out. If everything is in chaos, you know that when you truly know it without a shadow of a doubt, you do not even have a wrinkle in your brow because you know God is all there is. And you know that you have the power to speak to it. I'm telling you, there's this space they call the eye of the storm, and that's where the peace is. In the eye of the storm, you would truly be in a storm and know that You are peace because you are God, and that you could speak to the storm. It reminds me of when the disciples were in the boat and Jesus is in the back laying down, sleep, and a storm came. And the disciples start to get scared. Jesus, wake up, Jesus! And they was all upset. And Jesus like, what's wrong? Haven't I taught y'all that you're the master? And he gets up and he comes and he speaks to the wind. It's like, peace, be still.
Mm.
Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Why do we get rattled when something don't seem to be going in the way that we want it to go? Because if we understood that God is good even in the storm, we could just say, peace, be still, and go to sleep and know it's all good. Because God is who I am, and I am God. And no matter what, I know the universe is friendly to my desire. And nothing but good shall come my way.
Great. Well, right now, Janine, you want to open up the lines for questions and comments because we're getting very close to the top of the hour.
All right, let
me... What about very fast?
Let me start.
I've never known one of the calls I've been on with you go by as fast as this one did.
Hold on, let me open up the line.
All callers are unmuted. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right, so now all callers can unmute themselves. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, and you want to unmute, then unmute yourself right now. And star 6.
They do that? How did they mute themselves?
Star 6.
Okay, good.
And if you on Blog Talk Radio, just hit 1. So the name of the book is Christ Returns.
Thank you. I was just about to ask you that again.
Well, I see you just text that, so I was just, it just came through.
Yeah. Christ Returns. Very good. It's so important.
Excuse me, who's speaking? Who's speaking?
Jay Hodge.
Okay, good morning. Wanted the audience to know who they were.
How are you? You know, it's so important that when I ask the question, who is God? And tell me the truth about Jesus Christ. You know, because religion wants to tell you that there's a separation between him and human. But in the Bible, in Psalms, it states that Jesus became perfect through his process. It doesn't say that exactly, but it says that he became perfect by his lessons that he learned when he was young. As he was growing, he did come here with the purpose that he stayed on that path. His parents made him stay on that path. There were some things that Mary and Joseph knew about Jesus, and they accepted him for who he was, and they trained him. In the Aquarian Gospels, which is the story of Jesus Christ, written by Jesus Christ, it tells that whole process. When you ask, God gives you, because I didn't ask, I asked just to know the truth. And all of a sudden, somebody said, I think it was my pastor of the church, he said, read the Aquarian Gospels. I had never heard of them. But in the Aquarian Gospels, they go back and they talk about the process from the beginning of who Mary is, who Mary Magdalene was, how they sent those two boys out to be trained by Burma, who was at that time one of the highest resounding men of God in the world, in their area. And they walked with him. And then they went their separate ways to do. So when you ask God for understanding, he shows and directs you to the truth. I asked the truth. I wanted to know the truth. You know, and one of the things that I understand, and I really really appreciate you for it, Janine, is that we are God. God made us perfect, whole, and complete because there is no imperfection in God. But our conscious mind wants to tell us otherwise. So we have to train our subconscious mind so that it can manifest in our life all about love. Because like you said, it does start with love, and love is a heavy emotion to deal with if we deal with it in an emotional way as opposed to a spiritual way. But it takes time, and we have to be willing to open our mind and our being to the information that God downpours into us, that we may hear from somebody that we don't really know. But if we don't really know ourselves, if we can't really understand what it means to have something resonate in yourself, in your feeling, your desire to want to know the truth, because the truth, I remember this, and every time I say that, I think of Jack Nicholson when he said, you can't handle the truth. Maybe we can't, but if we keep searching for it, we'll then believe it and we'll understand it, because Jesus Christ said we can do more and much more, and that's our job. God gave us dominion over this earth, everything in it. Everything in it. And we don't understand that. We want to tell those false lies about the devil made us do it and look at what the devil is doing, blah, blah, blah. No. We actually create this world and we can change it. That's our duty. That's what our that's what God gave us that authority. When he put us here, he said, you change it. You name it. He tells you that in Genesis. So if we want to name it evil, and we want to name it the devil, we want to do all this other stuff, we have that right too. But in the Bible it says that God is good, and everything that God does is good. There is no such thing as evil and all that stuff. It's between our head. It's out of our mouth. We have to, at some point in time, and it's getting better and better, because more people are walking in love, and because of the internet and technology, we're aware of all the things that are going on, good as well as not so good. But if we stick on good, then we can change not only our lives, but everybody else's lives. Could you imagine?
Excuse me, could we conclude so we can get some other callers a chance to call in?
I just want to leave you with one thought. Could you imagine what the world would look like if we all walked and operated in the goodness of God?
Beautiful. Thank you very much. So can we go to the next caller, Janine?
Okay. Thank you, Rosa J. Great stuff. All right. Who, anybody else? Star 6. If you want to come in on Blog Talk, press 1.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, family. I was not expecting this conversation this morning, but it is a productive one because it takes you back, or it takes me back, to looking at my spiritual mastery progress.
Excuse me, we're hearing a lot of static right now, so I don't know if you're on your speaker or whatever. We want everybody to be able to hear what you're saying, because I sense it's going to be something really profound. So I don't know what we can do to have the static out of your voice.
Okay, maybe I'll pass it this time and call in on another call.
Yeah, a lot of reverberation.
Okay, well, I'll just talk with you guys on another phone. Thank you.
So what did they say? Are you gonna? Can you correct that now, or do you need to call right back in?
What's your name, caller, please?
I didn't hear what they said, Janine.
I'm not sure either, but that's called it. Sometimes her phone does that. So
yeah, because there was a lot of static. So maybe she called back in. It'll be a better number. While we're waiting for her to attempt to call back in, you want to open up for someone else?
All right, star 6, press 1 if you want to come in on Blog Talk Radio. Yes, yes. This is Janine Ingram and James Gilmore right here on The Love Journey. And we're talking about your spiritual identity this morning. If you have any comments, concerns, just push star 6 and come in, or push 1 if you have a question on Blog Talk Radio. Comment or concern.
Good morning. This is LaRue in Baltimore.
Good morning, Ms. LaRue.
Oh, hallelujah. Janine, the story you told about the story, you know, the stories you told this morning just really resonated with me. And I want to tell a short story about living in my car. And I was living in my car because my son, who I've told you and I have permission to tell you, has a mental disorder that the doctors call schizophrenia, but I call genius. So that's the name that I've given it. And I was put out of the house with a peace order, so I couldn't go into the house. So I told my son that I would be in my car 24/7 so that if he needed me, I could be, you know, he knew exactly where I was. All he had to do was look out of his bedroom window and he would see me in my car because I needed to protect him from his father, who he was living with at the time. Well, the first night I had to sleep in my car, that I chose to sleep in my car, let me say it that way. I chose to sleep in my car because that was the only way that I could protect my son. So it was cold that night, and I spoke to God, as I do before I go to sleep, and I said, okay, God, you know why I'm sleeping in my car, so that I can protect my son. And you made a promise to me that you would never leave me nor forsake me, that even in the depths of hell, you would be with me and protect me and keep me safe. I said my prayer, and I went to sleep. I put the car seat back as far as it could go, and I went to sleep. And I slept through the night. Even before I opened my eyes in the morning, I heard the birds sing, tweet, tweet, tweet. Tears rolled down my face because I had gotten the best sleep that I had gotten in years. At that point, in 20 years that I had laid next to my husband, I got in my cold car. And the song that came to my mind when I heard the birds singing was, if his eye is on the sparrow, I know he watches me. So from that moment on, I said, okay, God, we got this. We got this. I can do this. Because I had a fear, a terrible, terrible fear of being alone. I had stayed in a marriage where I was being abused because I was afraid. So my awakening to the God in me came from love of my son, to protect my son. And here is my hand. Everything that I have asked God for, he has given me. My question now is, my son, now that his father has passed on, he's having some challenges. He's having some challenges. And I have been trying to talk to my son, but he's not hearing me. And I don't know how to, oh gosh, you know what, I'm just going to have to stop. I'm just getting too emotional. What I want to say is, you know what? I'm really struggling here.
You want me to call you
I'm
later?
Really struggling. Pardon?
You want me to call you later?
Yes.
Yes.
And Janine, three-way me in with the caller, okay?
And you okay? And you, I'm gonna give you a technique to write to the angels of your son, and I'm gonna show you some spiritual work to do.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Ms.
I'm complete. I'm complete.
I love you.
I love you. Thank you, God. Excuse me, to go back once you mute, do I just push the mute button on my phone or do I star six again?
You can do either one or you can do both. Star six will mute it or mute on your button will mute it, or you can do both, whichever one you want to do.
Okay, I'll do both. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. LaRue. All right. Anybody else want to come in? Any comments, questions, concerns? Just star six. This is Janine talking about your spiritual identity. James Gilmore, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please star six. Have any questions on Blog Talk Radio?
Good morning. Is this better in terms of transmission?
Good morning.
Much better. Much better.
Okay. I listen to the Love Journey on my home phone, which is one of those jokes. And if I want to talk, I need to get on this cell phone. But I just wanted to thank you for the presentation this morning. I see that spiritual mastery, a true journey. The Love Journey, Inc. has set it off for me in terms of getting back into God in my life daily. My experiences have been varied, but I knew the word and I knew the way, but I wasn't practicing the way until I got with the Love Journey, Inc., and I see so many different people. They come from everywhere, and they, too, are on the quest to understand what God means in their life. That's what I sense here with this whole thing, the reason we are here together. And I'm grateful that my mastery is increasing. I mean, I could only literally deal with the word and try and practice and follow the promises. And now you guys have introduced me to so much new stuff, mystical stuff. I mean, this is really new for me. Vibrations, the ethers, chakras. I've heard those words. I've been with people who dealt with, but I didn't really want to know. So that mastery has helped me to grow even higher in understanding how I can be God here every day. And I just thank you all. Janine, you've unlocked the doors, but start at the beginning, Claudette. Get to the inner child. See what has you on hold. And I believe that just even wanting or trying to open those very beginning doors have enabled me to get to where I am now, and I'm looking forward to this journey continuing. I'm going to have mastery of this girl and what God is for me. So thank you all. Thank you, James. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Beautiful.
Thank you, Claudette. That was beautiful.
Yeah, such clarity, too, in her energy and her speaking.
And confidence, yes.
Yes, yes, I love it. Like, sometimes people say they're going to do something or whatever. You can feel like, not like they intentionally are not being sincere, but when people mean something, there's an energy to go with it that you feel. And then when you don't feel that energy, then for myself, I'm not surprised a month or two or three later, they comment that they haven't done what they said they were going to do, because at the time they said it, it seemed like that energy of conviction and this will be was missing. So that it was definitely there in Claudette's voice. She said it calmly, but I felt it very, very deeply.
Yeah, you did feel it coming from her heart.
Yes, that's it. That's it. That's the difference. Coming from her heart, it came from her heart.
And that's the difference when we're telling ourselves we love ourselves, when we're starting to learn to grow into loving and appreciating ourselves. That's the same kind of passion and kind of vigor and energy that we need to have when we're learning to love, appreciate, and embrace the God-Goddess energy of ourselves.
Do you think it comes across like a fake it till you make it? Because maybe when people first start, I've seen people get in front of a mirror to tell themselves they love themselves in a group, and some people couldn't even get the words out, and other people were crying. So maybe it's not fake it, but keep practicing until something shifts, until it kicks in. Do you think that would be helpful?
Think, I know it is helpful. You know, there's a difference between think and know. I absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt that that is what it's going to take, because you spent 50 years not loving yourself. Now you just wake up one day, look in the mirror. Because can you imagine, I don't even know if we recognize, how many of us look in the mirror but never look in our eyes? I had one lady tell me when we did this exercise, she never knew her eyes were brown. She did not know she had brown eyes. I had one lady say it took her 2 whole months to really get into the idea of looking in the mirror and saying that she loved herself, because she couldn't do it. She would just break down and cry because she couldn't tell herself that she loved her. How you going to be God on the planet? How you going to show up as God? How, you know, because really, just like the book we read in the covenant, what it says, our consciousness is about being. And the being is before our consciousness. How are you going to be love? How are you going to be anything if you can't stop and say to yourself, I am a gift to the planet. I am a blessing, and I absolutely love, adore, and appreciate how you show up on the planet. If we can't say those simple words to ourselves, how would we expect anybody else to show up in that same kind of energy for us? We give, give. Everything we give to people because we want people to show up loving us. We give them our money. We give them our bodies. We give them everything and then say, but they're not loving us the way we want to be loved. Oh, you're not loving me. You're not appreciating me. But you're not appreciating you when you can't even say to yourself, I love you. How you expect somebody else to say, I love and adore you, when you can't say that to yourself and mean it? Experience. So my thing that I like to really incorporate and leave people with today, James, is spiritual grooming is one of the most important things you can do, like brushing your teeth and washing your face. You need to spiritual groom. You get up every morning, you wash your face, brush your teeth, take your bath and shower. You need to stop and do your spiritual grooming as well. If I had my children to grow up again with me and I was starting over and I was where I am today, I would say this to them. You know how you tell your, you give your kids a bath and you ask them, did they brush their teeth? Did you wash your face? Did you know you always ask them that before they go to bed? And you, it would be, or in the morning, it would be, did you wash your face? Did you brush your teeth? Did you tell yourself you love you? Did you do your mirror work? Did you do your spiritual grooming? It would be that kind of conversation every single day. Did you do, you didn't do your what? Go back in that mirror and tell yourself you love yourself. Bring the mirror here. Come on. Let me see you do it. That's the kind
that's
of work
right.
I would do with
it's
my
kids. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so simple. It's transferring the things we do habitually in our lives, with our children, with ourselves, to do that and apply it to spiritual mastery and the mastery of self-love. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yes. And mastery of self-love is, you know, we hear in the philosophy, we hear Confucius and those processes that they say, you know, one must master thyself. The greatest lesson is to master oneself. That is the truth. That is true. More true than anything you can ever do in life is to master self. And when you master self, you have really made an amazing leap and bounds on the planet.
So in our conclusion, not our absolute conclusion, I'm hearing you say that in terms of spiritual mastery, essential component of that is truly loving ourselves and practicing self-love on a daily basis in our entire lives. That's what I'm hearing you say about the connection between mastery, spiritual mastery, and love mastery, that they're really one and the same.
Exactly. And I'll give you an example. And I told you this the other day, just even in my marriage, when I began to love Janine and honor Janine and begin, when I was giving absolutely everything away to my children and my husband and my job, I felt depleted, unhappy, and never was satisfied and always, you know, everything, blah, 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 and all. And then when I began to love myself, life, it became
ease, elegance, and grace. I'm like, wow. I mean, even our arguments were different. You know, one day I was sitting in the middle of the bed reading, and, you know, I'm a big reader. So if I'm home by myself, 9 times out of 10, I'm probably got some Miles Davis on in a book. That's probably what you'll hear going on in my home. So I'm sitting in the middle of bed. I was home by myself reading a book. My husband come in, I'm peaceful, and he comes in and he gets to arguing with me, and I can't figure out why we arguing. I'm sitting here and reading my book. I don't even understand how I drew this to myself, right? So while he's saying what he's saying on his part, I'm sitting there going to myself, well, what inside of me reflected this, that caused this to be in my space right now? So I really wasn't even paying any attention no more to the argument, because I was really concentrating on what is it in me right now, that why I'm in this space? Why am I in this intellectual, strong, passionate conversation with someone I love, and we're not getting along in this right now moment? So I just went into myself and started telling myself how much I love myself. I just went into me, and I poured love over me, and I just saw love. I put us in a love bubble, and then it was at night. So he went to take a shower and get ready for bed. I wrote myself a love letter, and I just told myself how much I love myself, and I sung myself a little love song before I went to sleep, and I got under the covers and went to sleep. Now, normally, when me and my husband argued with that kind of argument that we had to that level, I wouldn't have been able to sleep. I would have been tossing and turning. What's going on? Why da da da? Mine and why he's sleeping in? Oh, just been everything. But I didn't. I wouldn't even let my mind shift into nothing but love. I stayed in the love vibration. We woke up the next morning, and I promise you, Brenton was not one who apologized. He apologized, but never with words. He might get up and fix breakfast and bring breakfast to bed. And, you know, and all I, you know, and it was always, okay, let me talk to him. Let me see why, da 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 da. And pouring, you know. But this time I just poured love into myself. He woke up and sat on the side of the bed. I remember it like the back of my hand. And he looked at me and said, Janine. And he started to say every word that I had wrote to myself. I had to look under my pillow to see did he read it. So I tell you, love will shift the vibration of everything if you truly learn to operate in that love vibration.
So I'm hearing you say two applications of the love mastery. One is when issues and things come up with us and people and situations, circumstances, continue doing one's mirror work, one love immersion. And then the other one, I think you said you wrote a letter to his angel, to your husband's angel.
Not on this particular occasion. All I did was wrote a letter to myself and love myself. When there was things, when I wrote to Brenton's angels, like sometimes when you talk to people, they can't hear what you're saying. One, because they in the defense mechanism. Two, you know, when you're in a difference of opinion, everybody's trying to be seen and heard, but nobody's really trying to see and hear the other person. So sometimes you can't handle or resolve a situation from a physical standpoint. And so that's when I would bring in my angel work so that I can accomplish the highest and best good for all of us involved when I wanted to have a conversation and I wanted him to hear my heart and I wanted him to listen and us really have a transfer of a conversation and not necessarily an opportunity for us to have another argument. The arguments really don't resolve things.
So you've had good results with writing to your angels and other people's angels to resolve situations then?
Oh, I had plenty of, you know, I don't know how people can do it. I mean, my children's angels, my husband's angels, whenever I had a situation that I needed to be resolved quickly, and I'll give you an example. I wanted to get in a program at Roosevelt University. And Roosevelt University was a paralegal program, and it's like the elite paralegal program in the nation. It's a very elite program. And so and the city of Chicago was giving out money, paid for you to do some kind of program that you wanted to do, long as it led to some kind of work. And so when I went there, it was January of some year, I can't remember what year this was, and I went there, and they said the program was ended. And so if you were here for this particular money, the money is dried up. We no longer giving money for this particular program. But if you want to do this, this, and this, you can stay. But my spirit says stay anyway because I wanted to do it. So when I got up there and I told the man that I wanted to do this particular program, he said, well, no, we can't give you money for that program because that program is ended. I said, but I feel like you can't. So he said, well, okay, hold on. And he went to go to take care of some stuff. And while he was gone, I wrote to his angel for him to hear what I had to say, and I just started to talk to him about all the stuff through the angel. And do you know, when he came back, he said, okay, you know what? Can you type? I couldn't. I'm not really a good typist and still not a good typist today, but I said yes because I knew my sister-in-law was a good typist, and I said, shoot, I'll ride out because she could type 200 words per minute. I'll ride out to Aurora, pay her to type whatever he want me to type. So he said, if you type my paper, I'll backdate your paper and give you all the money you need plus car fare, plus your books, plus a stipend. I was like, done. And I went to get his paper type, and of course, history is, and I went to paralegal school. So I'm just telling you, the angel work is very powerful work.
Wow, wow. So before we get off, this is always delicious. My second time interviewing you, the last one was so great. I said I can't wait for the second one. So, and of course, there's so much that we talk about. There's so much that happens on our calls with the Ascended Master guests that we can only cover a smidgen. So this obviously is, we got to do another interview. Maybe I'll even have somebody to assist me so we can get the different aspects. So what's happening on the Love Journey the rest of the week, and especially on the Love Journey Mystery School?
All right, well, let's hold on. We got one question from Blog Talk, and we're going to let our Blog Talk radio person come in.
Absolutely.
Come on, Blog. All right. Yes, let me open up the line. All right, you open on Blog Talk Radio, 410-1832 is your last four.
Good morning,
1832, area code 410.
Yes, can you hear me?
All right, well, maybe they...
Something, I'm Rosa Jane. Mm-hmm. You know what, Janine, when that story... Had not you been open and willing to, however it showed up, and taken the action behind that, then it wouldn't have manifested. You know, a lot of times God will show us a way, but because it doesn't show up and it takes a little work, because you had to go to get to pick up the ladder, you had to take it to your sister-in-law, you had to do an action. And a lot of times we don't get our blessing because we don't want to take the action. It's not the action that we want to take, and we got angst and anxieties. So when you ask for something and it shows up, we should be willing to just say yes and do what it takes to do it. And that's what gets a lot of people stuck, taking the action that is necessary. Because God will give it to you, there's no doubt. But there's always an action, some sort of act that you must do to keep it going, to receive it.
All right.
You got a bunch of them, girl.
All right. Well, let our Blog Talk Radio, I don't know. We can't hear you. You saying hello, but we can't hear you.
Yeah. Hello?
Say hello again.
Do they know how to mute themselves? I mean, unmute themselves?
Our host unmuted her already.
Can you hear her?
I don't know. She said she can't be heard.
Hello.
All right.
I'm here.
I don't know. Esther, did you have your phone on mute?
Can you hear me? Okay, I don't know what's going on. It's all good. Divine order.
All right, well, I don't know why she can't be heard. You want to try it again? Say hello.
Star 6.
No, she don't have star 6.
Hello,
Talk Radio.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you for trying to come in, and we love you. And if you come in while we're talking, if we hear you, I'll stop. So on tomorrow, we have Astarius Miraculi again, our wonderful, wonderful sexual, what's the name of it? It's relationship and ascension. So it's relationship, sexuality, and ascension. That's what Osiris will be talking about tomorrow, right here on The Love Journey. Wednesday, David Christopher Lewis. He has a book out called Afra. Afra is an African ascended master. Powerful. Can't wait to hear from him. Also, Thursday, Cassandra and Saint Germain, back again by popular demand. You don't want to miss this opportunity to come on the line. And I'm excited because guess what? I have been going back and forth with Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. He will be here Saturday and Sunday at Christ Universal Temple. And guess what? He's showing up on a love journey. He said yes, so I just typed. Emailed him this morning just to reconfirm for him to come on Friday. All right. So keep the space, hold the thought. And we're looking to see Dr. Dennis Kimmerer right here on The Love Journey. He wrote several books. Think and Grow Rich, of a Black Choice, What Makes the Great Great, Wealth Choice. And so, and many, many other books. When you get the opportunity, tell a friend and let your healing begin. Let them come and hear our stories tomorrow. David Lewis Christopher and Cassandra Clemente and Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to enjoy a great week of really great lineup. I'm excited.
Indeed. And then at the beginning of our call tomorrow, we have Cynthia from Brazil who will be doing a Christ at Heart activation for all those on the call who want to connect with that.
All right. So, I just want to check our Blog Talk Radio one more time. Esther, can you say hello so we can see if we can hear you?
Hello, hello. Can you hear me? Hello?
I don't know. Esther, if you could say hello, then we probably could hear Z because you got the call. Oh, she can't mute out, and you can't do anything. Oh, so that's the problem. Okay. So you can't mute your phone. That's why Z can't be heard. Okay. So we know now how to do it better. So what happens is when you bring a three-way in, and if you mute to call before you three-way, what happens is the person can't come in. So next time. Love you, love you, love you. Blog Talk Radio. All right, James, you want to send us off with any great things?
Well, it's just been an honor to do the second interview with you, and like to everybody to take advantage of the guests we have coming on the Mystery School, and just continue love the love merging with yourself, loving yourself, accepting the love in, and just ascending in Christ consciousness. And it's just great to be a part of this love journey mystery, and a great to be involved with you, my dear sister.
All right. Linda, you want to come in? God bless you. Thank you, James. Linda, you want to come in? Let's see if Linda's on.
Good morning, good morning. Hi, I'm on.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, James. Good morning, Lady Love. You guys are awesome. I just love the work that you guys are doing, world, and how you're educating us and giving us this spiritual food in the morning. I feel so drenched and so full, and I'm ready to go out into my day. Thank you. Thank you for the wisdom this morning.
And just for our Blog Talk Radio people, can you give them a little information on who you are?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My name is Linda Washington, and I am a spiritual life coach. I'm an author. I'm a Reiki master and a recently ordained minister. You can find me on Dynamic Revelations with an S.com. Again, that's Dynamic Revelations with an S.com. And you can find me on Facebook under my name, Linda Washington Yerby. And Yerby is spelled Y-E-R-B-Y. So what I do is I allow myself to come to the line to support us in manifesting our prosperity. Prosperity is our birthright. And as we affirm our affirmation, also known as an incantation, we allow ourselves to feel the vibration of these words. So together what we're going to do is seven times together as a family, we're going to affirm what we know to be true, which is our prosperity affirmation. For our new callers, you can go to our Love Journey, Inc. Facebook page, the Love Journey, Inc. Facebook page, and find our current closing affirmation. It's posted in the timeline. You can follow along, or you can just follow along as we're going. And just, it's easy. It's so easy once you keep doing it to just catch on and just follow along the vibration of the words. So let's do it, family. Let's do what we do. If you're in a place where you can get up and you can move around, I encourage you to do that at this time, to allow yourself to get that energy flowing and moving. And we're going to affirm together 7 times our closing affirmation. Let's do it. 1, 2, 3. Of these words that you're allowing them. When you're writing your bills, affirm it in your mind, speak it out into the universe and into existence until you vibrate every nook and cranny and syllable of every word from your heart center. Keep doing the work, you guys. You're rocking it. And back to you, Lady Love. Namaste and one love.
One love. All right, we're going to start saying the prayer for protection when we end our call together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, and the presence of God watches over us. And wherever we are, God is. And we're going to say that 3 times together. Wherever we are, God is. Wherever we are, God is. And last time, wherever we are, God is. Yes, I just was stuck in my spirit the other day say that together and to say that last line three times. So after we say our affirmation, that will be our ending process together, to say that, to remind us that we're always surrounded by the God's light, that we're always enfolded in God's love, and that God's power always protects us, and the presence of God is always watching over us. And wherever we are, God is always, there's not a spot that God is not. Yes.
It's so good. Yes. It's what we need.
Yes. And so that would be after the affirmation, Linda. If you want to just lead us in that, you're more than welcome. If not, I could continue to lead us with that. We will be, that will be our ending process to every affirmation, every call. Just want to put that in our consciousness to be reminded that we are always where God is. There's no separation. We are in the presence, in the power, in us, as us, all around us, all the time. All right, before we get out of here, any questions, comments, or concerns? Any last things you want to let us know? Mr. James Gilmore. Take James off mute. Any last things you want to say, James? I guess not. Okay. He muted himself back, huh? Wait, James, anything you want to say?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. You had already asked me for any last words, and I gave them already.
I know, but anything before we hang up?
No, everything is good. I hope to see everybody on the call this morning to receive the, tomorrow morning, to receive the Christ at Heart activation with Cynthia. And then another wonderful call with our guest, Astarius.
All right. So I want to remind each and every one of you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember to live and dream. I mean, remember to dream and live your God-sized dreams. I want to thank you, Blog Talk listeners. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming in into the call today. And of all the places you could have been, you chose to be here. Thank you, and I honor you profoundly from the depth of my soul. I want you to know you are so appreciated. Have a fabulous, wonderful, amazing day. See you in the morning.
Your conference recording has stopped.